Grandma Catalina. That's what the twins used to call her. I believe they may have the Carolina part right now, but David said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I thank God for the unity of the saints of God. It means so much to me. I thank God that he saved me out of a world of sin and shame. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. You know, sometimes we have to just think about the goodness of Jesus. You know, sometimes we need to just reflect on where he's brought us from, what he's doing in our lives. You know, I'm at a point where I don't take anything for granted. God, you've been so good to me. God, things that I didn't even dream of or couldn't figure out, you made a way. You opened up a door. You healed my broken heart. You healed my body, God. We just want to thank you. So, all right, so y'all about got me stirred up tonight. We have a very interesting lesson on tonight. It's our last lesson in the series. Next week is movie night. We have a good movie to show on next Thursday night. I forget the name of it, but I know Sandy's got it.
Heaven Bound.
Ooh, now that even sounds good, don't it?
Yeah.
You know we're just pilgrims traveling through a strange land. Is that right? The heaven is our real home.
That's right.
This is a temporary place. This is a temporary stopover. Yeah. Even with all the songs of praise on tonight, this is just a rehearsal. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to show up saying, I'm going to tune up. I don't know what key I'm going to have when I get to heaven. Right now, I'm saying all of it. You know? But when I get to glory, shoot. Will somebody sit him down? No, too late. I've got to sing for at least another 2 million years and go around the throne of God. We thank the Lord. You know, tonight, we're finishing up in this series. We may be finishing this series of church stuff. There's so much church stuff to talk about. And it's been good. It's been wholesome. All those have taught these lessons and all that we have gleaned from these lessons. But tonight, we might have think that we're leaving on a somber note, but I don't think so. It's a real note. It's a reality check. Suffering as a believer. Do we as believers suffer?
Yes.
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes. I heard the mothers used to say years ago, this is a suffering way. I know there's some folks that say, hey, you know, you come to Christ, all your problems are going to be over. It's going to be ice cream and cookies every day. You know, divine health, and, you know, prosperity, you know, like the woman I saw on TV one time talking to her wallet. You just speak to your wallet and say, wallet, you're a fool. No. it doesn't work like that. You can say it all you want. There's still going to be some dust in that wallet. But God has given us the antidote. He has given us the way for us to prosper in Christ Jesus. So tonight, we're talking about suffering as a believer. And there's a definition for suffering. And I'm sure, even without reading that, we all could kind of talk about suffering. Some things that we have suffered. You know, we can even talk about, and we're going to look at a few folks here tonight, because who is it that has suffered more than anybody that we can imagine?
Job.
Huh?
Job.
All right. And who tops Job?
Jesus.
Amen. Suffer. But was that the end of the story?
No.
Not the end of the story. So suffering, and one of the definitions here is suffering is to endure death. Have anyone, that's got to be a redundant question to even ask. All of us have been touched by death in some kind of way, a loss of a loved one. You know, one of the things that touched me and Sandy, our life, is when the Lord had blessed us to remarry, and we got married in 1980, January, and our first child was born, died in 8 months of pregnancy. So you can imagine, we're on a high. You know, we've been remarried after 3 years of divorce. You know, she's in family way. We're making plans, and then, situation came up, and we lost the baby. So we suffered through that. That was hard. You know, that was very hard on us. And but God stepped in and he brought us through. Suffering is to endure death, pain, distress, to sustain loss or damage. Anybody ever sustained any loss or damage? You know, I mean, you know, that's a suffering time. Harassment. Anybody ever been harassed? Oh, good. I'm the only one.
No.
You know, peer pressure. That can be a suffering way sometimes. You take a child that's been bullied or under a lot of pressure, and that child has to go to school every day and even maybe pretend to mom and dad and everything is all right. That baby is suffering. You know, so tonight we just want to talk about a suffering as a believer. We as believers, it's going to be some suffering going on. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So Camille mentioned Job. Let me just read from the first chapter of Job. It's not in your text, but in your handout, but it's definitely in the Bible, chapter 1, starting in verse 6. And I think this will kind of put us in line for the discussion tonight. And look, this needs to be an interactive, heartfelt study tonight. You know, one of those to where we really relate with the subject matter. Because, you know, we overcome by the words of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Sometimes we may think that we're the only ones that suffer. We're the only ones that's going through. Until we hear someone else have a situation worse than mine. You heard the old saying that a man complained about not having any shoes. He was just complaining, upset. He didn't have any shoes. But he messed around and saw a man coming down the street who had no feet. So that his situation paled in comparison to what this man was going through. So the Bible tells us that in the first chapter of Job, that Job was a perfect and upright man, feared God, and shunned evil. Do we fear God today?
Amen.
Do we try to shun evil and stay away from evil?
Right. Yes.
Are we mature? Are we mature in Christ? See, but does that exempt us from trouble?
Nope.
Does that exempt us from suffering? You know. It says, now there in verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. You know, his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And so Satan answered the Lord, saying, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down, and back and forth in it. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? You know, he said, have you not made a hedge around him, around his household and around all that he has on every side? In short, haven't you blessed him? You know, you have blessed the work of his hands, and possessions have increased in the land. But now this is you talking about spiritual wickedness in high places. You're talking about a war going on in heaven. But the devil said, but now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. You know, we live in a time where folks will shake their fists at God when stuff ain't going like we want it to. It haven't changed. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, mind you, just in this narrative, we'll get to the lesson. Job had no idea of this conversation in heaven. He had no idea, but yet he was an upright, godly man. It said, verse 13 said, now that was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. Job was a rich man. You know, cattle in those days really meant something. and with the, and the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Have you ever got bad news one after the other, one thing after the other? Verse 16 says, while he was still speaking, now mind you, he's a perfect and upright man who fears God and stays away from evil, and trouble is knocking on his door. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Can you imagine this man rocking and reeling by now? While he was still speaking, have you ever had one of those times like, oh no, what now? What next? Anybody ever been there? While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. One thing after the other. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Have you, especially parents, I know it's been times where you may get a call in the middle of the night or late at night and son or daughter's not home, and the minute it rings, is that right? You start getting a little, oh, yeah. What's going to happen now? You're going to be a little warm in your room. And so you and your mind will automatically sometimes think the worst, you know. And so while he was still speaking, another came and said, your son and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly, I can imagine the man dripping over to the table or something now. All he's had is bad news in these last few moments here. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people. He's getting this message on his children. And they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 20, then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and watch this, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. That's deep. He didn't fall to the ground and start shaking his fist at God. He fell to the ground and worshiped the Lord. And here's what he said. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb. It sounds like somebody has a death grip on God. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, the Bible says, Job did not sin or charge God foolishly. Wow. This is real. This is not a story. This is not a satire. This is not some play that came on TV. A real man with real issues, but served a real God and had a monument of trouble that came his way, you know. So our lesson tonight is Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. I believe we all understand what suffering is, but let's kind of get a handle on break these passages apart and kind of talk about where we are here. Romans 8, 18 through 22, and we can't leave by verse 28, 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. So Genesis chapter 3, 17 through 19. Will someone read those verses, please?
Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and you have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Curses the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field.
One more.
In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and so into dust you shall return.
Thank you, Sonia. So let me ask this. So does these three verses here have any bearing on suffering today as a believer? Is there a connection between what we're seeing here in Genesis and what we, how, you know, the suffering that comes our way here in 2018. How did we get to this point? What was the cause? What transpired during this time that we, that Sonya just read, or prior to that? The phone knows.
Down in
deep
sin. Don't you ask me what transpired?
Mm-hmm.
They disobeyed God.
Right. See, I'm asking, is there a connect? When we talk about suffering as a believer, it had to originate from somewhere. You know, were did Adam and Eve suffer in the garden prior to their sin?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm.
So it had to start someplace.
Yes.
Is that right? So it started with what?
Disobedience.
Sister. Was your hand up? Is that your hand?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, praise God. So, you know, and this is what we need to find out, because, you know, have you ever heard folks, you know, it's one thing, and I'm saying this, and you, it's one thing to hear the world say this, and it's another thing to hear the church say this. Why would God allow this to happen? Why does bad things happen to good people? Have anybody ever heard those statements?
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times, do you feel that people that are saying that, that they have a valid question, or, you know, is it could be they don't know the Lord, or better yet, as believers, do we always understand what God is doing?
No.
You know, so how do we arm ourselves? How do we, you know, how do we deal with this? We see, but through these verses. Well, let's ask the question. I think it'll bring up the conversation. It says, looking at these verses, where did suffering originate from? That's the question. That's right.
They're disobedience and sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was a catastrophic thing, wasn't it?
Yes.
You know. You leave a utopia, you know, where God created you and communicated with you and in the cool of the day. And he said, he told it. See, does God always let us know what he wants us to do or what he does not want us to do?
No.
But as believers, do we know what's right and wrong?
Yes.
You know, the Holy Spirit points us in the right direction.
I think that it started with, like, the enemy sows just enough seed of doubt,
mm-hmm,
for you to question what he has said.
Right.
It's like the devil don't make you do nothing. All he does is just try to manipulate or filter the view.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be skewed a different way, enough for you to question what it is that you know.
Right, because that's exactly what how the serpent spoke to Eve. Did God really say, did he really say that, you know, or, he just don't want you to be like him, you know. And so she bought it, and in scripture she saw that it was good to eat. And she gave to her husband, and, you know, we know the story, he complained. And sin entered the world. The curse came up on the world. God said, in the day that you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. Man has been dying ever since. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man wants to die, but after that, the judgment. See, and this is why it's so important for us as believers and saints of God to share the love of Jesus everywhere we go, as often as we can, because people are lost, people are hurting, and people have these questions of why did God allow this to happen? And so some folks don't see the loving and kind and gracious God whom we serve. So we have to really do that. So let me ask this question. What kind of suffering do we experience today? What are some of the types of suffering that we as believers experience today?
Sickness.
What kind of suffering do we experience today?
Sickness.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said say it again. Sorry. You know I'm getting a little old, okay?
Hearing deficit.
Huh? Me? I never did figure that one out. My grandmother, because she couldn't hear too good. She said, me? That means, what did you say? I didn't learn that. So what kind of suffering do we as believers experience today?
So she said sickness.
Huh? Who said what? I didn't hear it. Y'all help me out. You said something. I don't know who said something. I may have missed it.
So you had sickness and then such a Mariah.
Pain.
Pain. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Help a brother out. So sickness and pain, is that all the suffering that we encounter today?
We're tired.
Oh, yeah.
We're worried.
Mm-hmm.
We're in pains.
Being ignored.
Oh, wow.
Depressed.
Yeah. Depressed.
Relationships.
Relationships. Broken relationships.
Poverty.
Agosa.
Betrayal.
Yeah.
Homelessness.
Hmm?
Homelessness.
Oh, yes. Homelessness. That's a suffering way. That is a suffering way. You know, and we just brighten up one little corner of the county out here one day every other month. You talking about a suffering way. Yeah. Loneliness. Mm-hmm.
So cheap or just
lost. Yeah. She said searching. You know, just lost. You know. Yeah. As a believer, you know, we kind of suffering right now, living in a temporary housing, you know. Both of us can't even fit in the kitchen too good. Okay, you go first. You know, you put the trash in that one, come out, I go ahead and put the plastic bottle in this can, you know. So, but it's a suffering way, but you know what? What's a blessing in all of our suffering? We know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, if we think about some of the folks in the Bible, Joseph. Remember Joseph? And his brothers sold him into slavery, left him for dead, sold into Egypt, falsely accused down in Egypt, doing time and was forgot about down there. But every one of those instances, the Bible says, but God was with him. Do we believe that tonight, in the midst of our suffering, do we believe that God is with us?
Amen.
You know, and you know, we can't, and also, we can't figure it out. Why is this person going through this, and this one is not? You know, it wasn't David, I forget it exactly which Psalm said. He said, my foot almost slipped.
Yeah.
You remember that? When I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
Yeah.
They're prospering, they're wicked, they're not serving you, God, and here I'm serving you with all that I know how, and I'm not, seem like I'm not moving forward. Have any of us ever felt like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, but God, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. This is a suffering way, say. You know, I thank God how God has blessed Brother Chuck here. He suffered when his wife passed. You don't mind me using your example, but that was not an easy time for him. That's not an easy time for nobody.
That's right.
You know, you're talking about suffering as a believer, but we have to lean on Jesus. When my mother was dying in a home down in Okmulgee, Oklahoma, in hospice care in our home, and the doctors, doc, you don't know this, but the doctors had, the pharmacists had got the prescription wrong. And the drops that were supposed to go in her mouth, the instruction said it goes in her ear. And we didn't know. You know, you're talking about a suffering way. You're talking about having to call on the Lord when that came to light of what? You know. And so we as believers, but I think one thing that's important is how do we deal with suffering? When the storms of life, Pastor Doc, come our way. Because they're coming. How do we deal? See?
You know, you bring up an excellent point. Because I think one of the tendencies that we can have as believers, we can go a couple different ways with it.
Mm-hmm.
We can overemphasize the suffering,
mm-hmm.
or we can underemphasize the suffering.
Okay, all right.
And I think. And I like to use the example of the light in our car.
Mm-hmm. That idiot light? That
idiot light.
That's what they call it.
You know, suffering, when things hurt, that means we're supposed to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
One is to acknowledge, and I, you all have heard me talk about, you know, Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He acknowledged the pain and
yes.
his experience.
And he's Lord.
Yes. And I think that is excellent for us, is that we're to go to God. But again, sometimes there can be a false theology that we're not supposed to suffer. Or it's because of sin. So let me deny it.
Yeah.
And no, everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
But that's not authentic.
No, it's not.
Then on the other end is to, oh, woe is me, everything is horrible, and why I got where you're doing this to me. But a balanced perspective of acknowledging the suffering. God, this hurts.
That's right. Right.
But what is it that you want to teach me in this? I don't like it. I don't get it.
See, that's the point. Say that again.
Yeah.
What is it that you want me to learn?
Yeah.
God, what are you teaching me
right.
in this hard time?
Right.
Yeah.
See. Christians, you know, life can throw some curveballs at the Dodgers. You know.
Too soon. But I think it's important to be transparent. But you have to know who you can be transparent with.
Okay.
I think there's in your suffering. You're supposed to always use wisdom.
That's not me.
No, I know it's not me. That's an Android device, so we're clear. So if you have an Android, and it's coming from that side of the room. So
okay.
All right. I have great ears.
It's just the point of being off the hook.
Yeah. But you know, it comes from a place of applying wisdom to know who you can be transparent with in that time, right? Mm-hmm. But also knowing that he promised me these bad days. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, in this life you will have trials and tribulation.
Right.
That was a promise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when Christ mentioned, and he asked them, are you only following for the fishes and the loaves? You know, are we only following God for how he blesses us?
Right.
You know, for the past, I don't know how many years since I've got grown and aware of when I used to hear them say, God, thank you for keeping us from danger, seen and unseen.
Mm-hmm.
That has gotten real to me because I don't know what he's keeping me from.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the angel of the Lord stands between me and whoever. Mm-hmm. You know, God, thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's from a and when you said being sensitive to the Spirit of God, I honestly don't know why certain things happen the way they do.
Right.
I don't know, you know, I got a text yesterday morning at 5:58 a.m. from a pastor friend of mine. She said, you've been in my spirit. You know, I'm paying attention to this. I need to know. I don't know if you're going through something, getting ready to go in through something. She said, but you need to keep your spiritual ear to the Lord.
All right. And that was good.
And I was in there like, well, Lord, what won't happen? You know, because you immediately think the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least I did. Somebody might be like, oh, I'm coming into money. I didn't think that. I immediately thought the worst, you know.
Yeah,
but
if you were coming into money, you would have called me.
Right, no, but I need some more, you know. But I'm learning daily and reminding myself daily to embrace when those things come that shake me to the core.
Mm-hmm.
To embrace that, because you promised me that on the flip side of this thing, it's going to be glory after this.
Right.
But if I don't have the enduring power, the staying power, Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. You know, you got to, and I love watching my war shows, but when there's going to be some death along, there's going to be some PTSD that you might have, but if you hold on to him, and that's where I love it. I think it's in First Chronicles, the prophet of the Lord said, if you stay with God, he'll stay with you. And it's just like, where else can you go? So it's literally burying your feet into the carpet of life. And holding firm and say, I'm not going.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how, and this stuff hurts. Like, think about when, you know, when you were sick and all this other stuff was happening and folks is dying left and right. I said, but God, I just know that you have plans. So I have to trust you when it's chaotic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really mean that.
As a believer, see. That's the subject is, and what you're saying is on point, because the subject is suffering as a believer. You know, and so we have to grow continually. We have to learn to trust God. And, you know, as we say so oftentimes, it says so oftentimes in Power Hour, as Jones, or Chucky, Sharon, you know, that growth is going to come through adversity. It's going to come through trials.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to go, I know, be it war for me. I'm good, you know. But trouble is going to come our way. You know, Martin Luther King years ago, he talked about life's interruptions, you know. And how do we deal with life's interruptions? And we have to make sure as believers that we don't make the suffering worse, complaining about everything and not trusting God. You know, man, say a little boy and a little girl was, the little boy told the little girl, about 9 years old, come on, walk up this hill with me. It's easy. And they start going up the hill. I believe it's Martin Luther King who said that as well.
Yes.
Say, say they got about halfway, the little girl was sweating and out of breath. She said she got mad at my side. You said it was a smooth path up this mountain. And ain't nothing but rocks and bumps. And she by this time she yelling and she going up one side and down the other. By the time he had enough of that. He said, well, it's the bumps that help you climb.
That's right.
See, you cannot skip unless you're Spider-Man. You can't climb up here and touch that piece of pipe up there on this wall. You know, maybe if you stand up on this chair, get on the back of it, and you're agile like Mike, get on top of the thing over there, hold on to the speaker, and then touch the pipe. You might be, it's some bump. You need something to hold on. It's something to hold on to in the midst of the climb.
Yes.
And we have to hold on to God's unchanging hand.
Yes.
Have God ever came through for you in the crunch?
Yes, all the time.
See, I'm talking about in some of these suffering ways where things was real bleak, but God stepped in. You know.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Sometimes you don't even know. Sometimes you don't even know you're suffering.
All right.
Okay. So for a long time before I went to the doctor, I was in pain,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know why. So I was popping pills.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have pain, you just take some Tylenol and call it a day.
Oh, these pills right. that came from the store.
When my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. See, that's what happens when you got a child of the Word. Anywho, it got to a point in me where when I got the help and the doctor started dealing with stuff, and I was in so much pain before even having the surgery. I was in so much pain, body riddled with pain. People asked me how I'm doing. I got so used to the pain
mm-hmm.
that it didn't register with me anymore.
All right.
It wasn't until after going through the surgery, about the second week in March, when I was able to kind of move around, where I didn't feel pain anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Where I began to realize that I was suffering harder, much harder than what I knew. So, you know, it's now here's the thing. On the flip side of this, in 2018, 5 years later, I have pain again, but it's not like it was before. So even though it hurts, even though my body is not feeling the way it should, I'm okay because I've been through worse.
Right.
So it's like sometimes when you don't know you're suffering until you've got the joy of relief. And then other times you can be suffering, but because you've suffered a while, you can handle a little bit more now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. Everything ain't blowing you out the box.
Right.
You know, everything ain't pulling out your hair and crying and going crazy. Sometimes it's just, you know, I'm going to be all right. You know, a girlfriend mm-hmm. of mine told me, I don't like the fact that you sound like you just accepting all this. You know, you just need to pray. Where's your faith? I know God is a healer. I don't know how he's going to heal, but I know I ain't getting cut on no more. more. So at this point, I'm at peace with whatever he gonna do.
Right.
You know, does that make sense? I'm sorry.
Amen.
Okay, I'm just, y'all talk something. You know.
Game, y'all just play. You know, I was certainly truly blessed. Caroline, you don't mind me if I use you for a moment. There was a couple of weeks ago when Pastor Ralph had to make a quick stop into ER. And we were sitting there, and the three of us talking, and Sister Carolina began to share. Now, my heart is heavy because my friend's going through. This sister began to share with me in the midst of her suffering. And she wiped me out, you know. So, Sister Carolina, I don't know if you want to just say anything on this subject or anything tonight, or anything that you might just want to share with us tonight, and how the Lord is yet blessing you in the midst of it all.
Well, I have a lot to share in my life, but this one incident that Pastor Kirk is speaking about. So I work for the city of Norwalk, and I'm on what they call the Family Medical Leave Act,
mm-hmm.
which is only 3 months. And for 3 months, you're protected. Your job is good. Well, I've been on family medical leave back for my husband. His husband's cancer. So I didn't have a lot of time on drugs. And long story short, in November, my time was going to end. And my job
today.
Was not going to be protected.
Yeah, today, right.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. you're right. My job was not going to be protected after that. So. I have a friend of mine say, you know, we're gonna recommend to the director and city manager that they do what's called the gift of time. They have all the employees donate minimum hours to the employee to try to extend their benefits and keep their job. So I've been working with the city for 19 years, and. So I prayed for those 2 weeks, and then I called my human resource department and I said, how's it going? And I just want to see if I need to check in.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, you know what, Carolina? She says, it's going really good. She says, you don't need to worry. We did a gift of time, and I have never seen this. But in one day, we met the criteria.
The quarter.
Yeah. And they had that out there for 2 weeks, but they had to stop receiving. And, you know, I don't know everybody that I work with or big unit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really touched, and I was humbled.
Yes.
Because I thought, that's not me. I'm not even there right now.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's all God. That's
mm-hmm.
all God.
Amen.
Yes.
And so when I shared that with Ralph, I said, wow, that is really amazing because it gives me 2 more months, and then after that, my insurance gets in from the city.
Yes.
But then she says, don't worry. She goes, just look at your payroll. Just go to your account and look at your payroll. I said, okay. So I really didn't, it really didn't register, but I was already on my bank account, and I thought, wait a minute. Payroll on my bank account. She doesn't even have my account.
Yeah, I don't have no money.
Right. Why would I be looking at my account? I wasn't getting paid anymore.
Mm.
I just have my savings.
Mm.
So I take a look and I start noticing. And then he, not only were they extending my time and my benefits, they're also paying me.
See?
Amen.
And one more thing. Every time you read the word, what is God saying to you?
Oh, yes. Every time I read God's word, no matter what book I'm reading, he's telling me. Because I've asked, what are you trying to teach me?
Listen to this.
And he's always telling me, do not be afraid.
Hallelujah.
I am with you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. What a testimony. Yet suffering, and yet God is blessing. God is working it out. Thank you, God. And this is just I just cheated a little bit. This is just a part of the testimony that's coming forth. Praise God. You know, Psalms 30:5 say, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor Talking about the Lord. It's for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, let's move on. Romans 8, 18 through 22. Now, we're talking about suffering. Thank you so much, Sister Caroline, for sharing that. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm sure there's some other testimonies out here. So Sam.
Well, the scripture that comes to mind is when God tells Gideon, thou mighty man of valor.
Right.
And he's out there hiding. So it just lets us know that God sees what we don't see.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And he is in control.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremiah 29:11, our base scripture for this ministry, is letting us know that God loves us.
Yes.
And he has plans for us.
Yes.
No matter what the enemy throws at us, God has plans for our future and hope.
Mm.
To bring us to that expectation.
Yes, yes. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So in the midst of all the suffering, as believers, as those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, those who are living, have a living hope, have a blessed hope. Romans 8 say, for I consider, this is the Apostle Paul talking. We all familiar with the Apostle Paul, formerly Saul, a persecutor of the church. But now he's a man of God, sharing to the death who Jesus is. Locked up, beat, left for dead. On the run from the authorities, whether it be the Romans or the religious sect of the Jews. And he said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time
are not worthy.
I mean, what we're going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
The sufferings of this present time are not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Not even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us.
That's right.
Hallelujah. What is he talking about there, Brother Ben? What is Paul talking about in that passage? For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
What comes to my mind is the glory of God. There's nothing that he can't do.
Mm.
And he's controlled everything in our lives. If he's for us, who can be against us?
Come on now, see.
And since he's for us, what can be against us?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All things are possible to him.
Yes. Can you see, imagine some scales, like a big, you know, a pinnacle here, the scale, the weights, and suffering over here, and the glory of God over here. And Paul said, you know, and in King James, I believe somebody said, I think Paul was from Texas, because they say, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. So where it looked like the suffering was so heavy, and the scales are tilted this way. But when we begin to think about the goodness of Jesus and the promises he's given us, then it flips real fast, and the suffering takes a back seat to the glory of God. When God come and visit us in the midnight hour, he come to visit us in our worst situations, and he speaks a word to our hearts, and he let us know that everything is going to be all right. What a mighty God we serve. Revelation says he's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. I know in the great by and by, but I've seen him do it today. I've seen him wipe tears from our very eyes in the midst of tragic situations.
Oh, also, Brother Perry, it's just, you know, death is a painful thing, especially if you're going that direction. So the die of the Lord is the gain.
All right. Say that louder.
The die of the Lord is the gain.
See.
That's right.
To die of the Lord is gain. See. That's Revelation 14 and 13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth saith the Spirit, that they rest from their labor and their works do follow them. Thank God for his word on tonight. He said, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Tell me we're not living in a time of corruption. Mm-hmm. Sickness and disease rampant in the land. Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. We're going through. This is a suffering way, but we have hope that's beyond the sky. See, we have, Camille said earlier, we have to encourage ourselves. How do we do that? In the Word of God.
That's right.
In the worship of the true and living God. In praising the Lord for who he is, magnifying him. And we'll find ourselves in that secret place. And God can touch places where nobody else can. I don't care how much you're in love with your wife or kids or what. There's some spots in our life that no one can touch but the Lord.
That's right.
And he'll make it all right. He'll make it all right.
And then someone composed a song some time ago that said, just one moment.
Yes.
In God's kingdom is going to pay for it all.
Do we believe that tonight?
Amen.
Right. See, now, get this. This don't mean we just sit around and die and wait for the sweet by and by. But David said, I will bless the Lord at
all times.
At all times. Is that right, Sister Dorothy?
Yes, it is.
And his praises.
Yes.
Say, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord.
Yeah, humble.
The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. That's why the saints can come together and begin to lift up holy hands and praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But there's victory in the praise.
Yes.
And the enemy want to take folks away from the fellowship of the saints when trouble comes. When suffering comes. When hard trials come, the enemy will whisper in somebody's ear, you know what, you may want to stay home. You know, you ought to just be, you know, like Job's wife, you ought to just curse God and die. Because the enemy will try to take the thing closest to us, if he can, to use against us. We have to know what's attacking. But in Romans 8:28, it says, for we know, who is the we?
Believers.
Huh? Oh, it says husbands. Yeah, we, okay, you know, for we know that all things work together for good. For those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, does that mean that everything that happened is good?
No.
Brother Ghost?
Well, here's what we can see about
women, what? Hold on, I didn't hear nothing. What did you say?
Here's how this should be done. Just because separate cook here, right, does not mean it's end all be all.
Let me come back here. What did you say?
Just because separate comes to you, like, doesn't mean it's going to end.
Right.
It's how you deal with it.
Right.
You can either deal with it in a very godly way, or you can deal with it in a very godly
way. Right. Yeah. Either trust God or you don't. So we have to learn to trust God.
Yes.
Sister Patricia, remember the old song, learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed, learning to lean. I love the word learning, sister.
Yes.
See, it's something to say, I learned, but I'm learning.
Because it's active.
Yeah, active, thank you.
Active.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm learning to trust in Jesus. In more, mother, every day.
Finding more power.
Yeah, and what about that four-letter word? I'm learning to wait on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed. Learning to wait on Jesus. That, Brother Brown, is that power in that?
Yes.
You know, brother, do you know how much you have encouraged me? I mean, showing me how to hit the dog ball.
Stay with me out.
Don't tell him that.
Squirrel killer.
Oh, you mean it's out? It's public knowledge that I killed a squirrel on the golf course?
Two of them.
Oh, man. No, one was wounded. Boy, he's transgression, though.
But see, that's when you was quoting Psalms 34, isn't that other part? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and delivered him out of all his fears.
A-L-L.
Like, God is a complete God. He don't do nothing in part. You know, it's done. It even though the manifestation might take, but he does everything. When Philippians 1:6, being confident in this thing, that he that begun a good work, he'll perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, he meant that thing. I've been singing Encourage Yourself to myself, that song over and over, and I'm reminded in Romans, it's still in Romans 8, I think it's Romans 8, when he said, you know, we don't, you know, the spirit makes intercession with moanings and groans. We don't know what to pray for. Sometimes I find myself waking up singing songs. I don't know what's going on in the heavens.
Right.
I don't know what conversation's being had about me and mine. But God, I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And having to know that he promised me that because even if you look at Job, you know, naked I came to the Lord, naked I shall leave. But he said, all the days of my appointed time, I'll wait until my change comes.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, I just got to trust you.
Yes, yes.
You know, I can't go nowhere without you.
Right. And see, this is why it's so important. See, fellowship in the house of God is so important. Whether it be Bible studies, midday worship, Sunday schools, all of that's important. But we have to have that relationship with God.
That's it, relationship.
To where we can worship God in the morning time. Over in the midnight hour, you know. I mean, I sang real good to the Lord when I'm by myself.
That's right.
See?
Nobody can hear you but him.
Look, I got a bunch of amen. But when you have a song in your heart, when you can find that place of worship and that place where it's you and God or you and your family and God, you know. Some of those old songs, Mother, my soul loves Jesus.
Yeah. Bless his name.
Bless his name.
Yes, yes.
You know, he's a wonder.
Yes, that's right.
In my soul.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we begin to, Sister Geraldine, we begin to focus on the Lord. You know, he makes us sweet. And, you know, he works on us, you know. And so when we talk about suffering, we're not looking to come to church on Sunday to get a fix for a week worth of suffering. You know, and we don't come to church to serve God. We come here to fellowship and to worship God. We should be serving God 24/7. We should be acknowledging him as Lord 24/7. We need to be learning and growing in him. I already hit the one question of what are some of the sufferings that Paul is referring to, but what should be the hope of every believer? What should be the hope of every believer? Pastor Al?
Pastor, one thing I just wanted to say, we're talking about wage, you know, it's talking about trust.
Yeah.
In the midst of our pain, as we go through our pain and we trust God, we learn. I love the way you say learning.
Mm-hmm.
We're always learning how to wait.
Yes.
So we don't have to ask why.
Right.
Because we know he's with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling my wife the other day, she said, I see you laying there in a lot of pain. There's nothing I can do for you. And I said, the Lord can. He will. I know he'll give me, whether it's that 3 minutes he gives me of pain-free, I'm able to feel like, oh, I can breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pain comes again. Just that little time.
Yes.
Good.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
But
he teaches us to come with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like she said, he's still, don't be afraid, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
It's comforting.
It's so common. Yes, what a blessing. What a blessing. See, that's that personal relationship, sister. That's that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know. I love how in the prison ministry, how we don't try to convince someone about Jesus or to have them just say what we're saying is the sinner's prayer, but to cause him to think about who God is, what eternity is about, who is Jesus? And people begin to think about that. You know, like we said, some of y'all may have not been here Sunday, but Brother Ben, we have this manila folder when we go into the prison with 18 lines on it. And so we sort of put a name and check whether they got saved for the first time or reclaimed. Brother Ben's package was full. He had one of 19 at the bottom, and on the back he had another name. Because we're going in there with this hope that we as believers have in this room tonight, going into dark, cold, callous places with the word of God and the love of Jesus, that someone even doing life in the penitentiary can have the same hope that we have. Can know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To know that he'll never leave me nor forsake me, he'll be with me always, even until the end of the earth. To know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, no matter what the devil says. If God be for me, it's more than the world against me. One with God is a majority.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Pastor Don, would you read 1 Peter 3 through 5, chapter 1, 3 through 5?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Man.
Hallelujah.
So, Pastor Doc, what you see in that before I ask you this question? We're kept by what?
We're kept, it says, by the power of God through faith.
Mm-hmm.
By salvation,
yes,
and ready to be revealed in the last time.
Pastor Doc, what is that saying to you?
That God can take control.
Yeah. See.
No matter what we're suffering.
Yes.
What we're going through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Say that he's in control.
Thank you.
You know, one of the things that I'm hearing also is for me personally. This is, you know, it says suffering as a believer. So that means that if you're not a believer, then you're suffering. And that's bad.
That's bad. That's hard.
That's bad.
And I've been there.
But as a believer, if you're suffering, what I like about it is God uses that for his glory.
Mm.
You want more glory. You want to be able to get closer to God. He uses that. Chucky touched on it and it says, you know, when he was talking about it, there's a reason sometimes we go through. It's important for us to realize that there's a reason behind it.
Yes.
There's a reason behind the suffering.
Yes.
It's to build us up. It's to strengthen us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do we know that, you know, God's able?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we know that God is able to heal?
Yeah.
If we don't go through, if we don't suffer, he uses suffering. Even though it came, sometimes it's very difficult times that we're going through that it comes. I'm thinking of something funny as we go.
Okay. Let us in on that. We don't want you mad by yourself. We might think something wrong.
I read one day that even Adam, Adam suffered.
Mm.
And,
oh boy.
The story was told that as he was walking after they had gotten kicked out of the garden, that they were walking, his children and himself, and so they were saying, Dad, what is this beautiful place, this beautiful garden? This is so nice. What is this? And Adam turned and said to them, said, this is where your mother, this is... where your mother ate us out of the house and home.
Right.
I'm sorry.
We knew you had to get it out. We didn't want you to have it by yourself. But no, that's the truth. You know, Sister Patricia, could you read First Peter 1:6-9.
And this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if needs be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, so it is tested by fire and be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, who having not seen you, love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy and inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Praise God. Thank you. Is there anything in those verses that stand out to you, sister?
The genuineness of your faith being much more precious than
Yes. Wow. See, that's why it's important to have a real faith.
Yes.
And not a said faith. You know, it's one thing for me to say what you say in the sinner's prayer and so forth, but you know, I need a real, that's fine. I'm saying that. But as Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, you know, we have to make that connection with our Creator. And then that's when the scripture comes to pass, that any man or woman be in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When Jesus told his disciples that hard saying, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. And so many of the disciples, they left with their head down. It was too heavy. They couldn't conceive. They couldn't understand what Jesus was saying about it's all about him. And then he looked at the 12 disciples and he said, are you going to leave me too? And they said, Peter being alive now, he said, where can we go?
That's right.
You have the words of eternal life.
That's right.
Oh, God. Yeah, God. In the midst of all I'm going through, where can I go? God, I can't go nowhere but to you.
Yes.
You're the source of my strength. You're my healer. You're my deliverer. You're my provider. Where can I go, God? Nowhere but to you.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. I don't care how rough the road get. I don't have nowhere to go but to the Lord.
That's it.
Like Jehoshaphat said, but our eyes are on you, God.
That's right.
You said if we turn to this place and call upon your name, whether it's pestilence or sword or what, that you'll hear our cry.
That's right.
And you'll deliver us. Jesus is saying, call on, come to me. All you who are laboring and heavy laden, he said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what? You shall find rest for your soul. The person in this room tonight that's not suffering in any kind of way, raise your hand. I want to talk to you after church to find out what the secret is. See? But I don't see any hands. Every one of us is going through something. Thank you, Lord. So, how important is it for us to share the message of hope to those who are suffering? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, how important is it for us to share the message of hope to those who are suffering?
10.
10? Who said 3? No, I'm just playing. We're sharing with others that are suffering. Help us in the time of our calamity.
Yes.
Amen.
How did that work, sister?
100%.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. The old song said, what is it, Camille? Pray for me
while
time is going well with you.
Pray
for me that the Lord will carry me through. See? So
pray for me that the will of the Lord be done. Pray. Just pray for me.
Just keep on praying. And I'm going to close out with about three verses.
Because when you share with others, you know, even though it says
will share with others that are suffering, help us in our time of calamity. If the Spirit of God brings it back to our remembrance, how we encourage someone else.
Yeah.
You said before you preached your mother's, did your mother's eulogy, you said that the Lord spoke to you, said you've been telling other people about going through at times. Now, do you believe?
That's right.
That's right. You know?
And that so challenged me.
It brings it up in our hearts where we have to remember, well, I said such and such to that person, and it's true. And so it just reinforces because the Spirit of the Lord brings it back to our remembrance, and it empowers us because we often say when we think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for us, our soul, it just gets a bubbling all over, and it just overflows because you can't help but count your blessings. You run out of fingers and toes because God has been so good to you.
Yes, yes.
And when you think about there's things he's kept us from that we're not even aware of.
That's right.
Adding to the things that we are aware of.
Yes. Why? You know. And you know, it comes a time to where some of these Christian cliches that we throw out, they need to become real though.
Yes.
Don't just come up to somebody and say, oh, it's gonna be all right. You know. How is that identified with my brother or sister who is going through? And I'm just throwing out, you know, we are our brother's keepers. We need to pray for one another. We need to earnestly intercede for one another.
That's right.
You know, and sometimes the best thing you do is just be quiet and be with someone. I'm here for you. I love you. I'm praying for you. You need anything? I'm here. I'm done. You know, and just start throwing out stuff. Oh yeah, this be all right after a while. No, you don't know what I'm going through. So we need to be sensitive to one another in the time of our suffering. I know a situation where someone called a brother and shared something with him that just shook his foundation, and it was unwarranted. Why would you say something to a man that's already hurting to cause him to hurt more? You know, so. People can say and do some things that cause folks to suffer even more. And read these three passages and I'm done. And Paul, we talked about him, how mighty of a man of God he was, and all that he had gone through. And God showed him a vision, took him up to the third heaven. He saw things that wasn't even lawful to repeat. But pick up the narrative in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure, by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. A messenger of Satan to buffet me.
Yes.
Why? Lest I be exalted above measure. See, God knows who we are. And he said, concerning this thing, concerning this suffering, concerning this thorn in the flesh, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My unmerited favor is sufficient for you. The operating power of God is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
That's right.
So he said, he comes to us. So when I got it, God. So when I'm weak, then am I strong. In the name of Jesus, because I'm holding on to God's unchanging hand. Job said in Job 5:11, he gives prosperity to the poor, and he protects those who suffer. Job also said in Job 36:15, but by means of their suffering, he rescues those who suffer, for he gets their attention, Chucky, through adversity. Wow. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's close out. Brother Chuck, why don't you come in?
Been Ralph's testimony. And he says that when weakness in his body, he's the most strongest spiritual.
Yes.
Yeah, because the Bible said this outer man perished.
Yeah.
But this inward man is being renewed day by day.
Day by day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
All can attest to the fact that God uses suffering in our lives to draw us closer to Him. When I'm, you know, when I'm overwhelmed and I can't handle the situation, I have to fall. I have to bow my knee to God.
Yes.
And ask for assistance because I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have situations that we can handle. It's like, oh, no, I got that. I got that. I can handle that.
Right.
But we come across things where it's like, no, I don't got that. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything about that. So let's stay. Dear Father, we thank you for the lesson on tonight about suffering, reminding us that suffering is a part of our lives as believers. Lord, your word tells us, I believe it's Hebrews 5 and 8, that Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered, and so much more for us. Lord, teach us to rest in you. Lord, to be patient. And suffering is called that for a reason, because it hurts. But Lord, we know that you love us. We know that you're perfect. You do all things well. Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters, that those that we can pour out our hearts to and just seek comfort from them. Lord, teach us to be patient, to listen to those who are suffering, and to provide words of comfort to them. Lord, we thank you for the food that's been provided on tonight. Lord, we glorify you, and we honor you in the name of Jesus. Amen.